Hi there, I'm Nicolette Reed, and this is EIB Export News. Hi everyone, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Nicolette. Thank you for joining me. Today, I want to talk about something a little bit different. I want to talk about when export compliance fails. A new story broke in February that many people may have missed. It was a story with huge implications of the worst kind, the failures of company export compliance and enforcement, which requires immediate attention. Please stay tuned. In February, a ballistic missile was fired by Russia into Ukraine, a missile they acquired from North Korea. A missile comprised of American components to the tune of 75% of its content. Many of our podcast listeners are aware of the current geopolitical environment in our world. Our livelihoods depend on it to some extent, but I'm going to expand on it for a moment regardless. I'm sure you've heard President Biden speak on what has been coined the new axis of evil, an alliance of nations that hold some level of enmity towards the United States. You could probably name them yourself: Russia, Iran, China, North Korea. These hostile powers that we have taken extensive action against in our own plane of battle, trade. In this battle, we are the ones tasked with protecting our national security. In the wake of Russia's illegal invasion of Ukraine and our own increasing tensions with China, a new coalition of trade partnership with our allies has flourished. But in response to this change, this new axis of unfriendly powers has also grown closer. Look no further than the two specific examples I'll be speaking about: missiles and drones used in Ukraine by Russia, provided by two of the other powers, North Korea and Iran. And the more chilling aspect of both of these stories, both drone and missile, contain parts from the United States. I'll start with the most recent example first. On January 4th, 2024, United Nations National Security Council Coordinator John Kirby confirmed that North Korea had supplied several dozen short-range ballistic missiles, SRBMs, to Russia for their use in the war against Ukraine. According to the International Institute of Strategic Studies, Ukraine estimates that Russia has launched more than 800 SRBMs during its invasion. As a result, their stockpile has depleted, forcing them to rely on outside sources to shore up their arsenal. One source is North Korea. Following the launch of SRBMs received from North Korea, the Conflict Armament Research, a UK-based investigative firm, was able to recover missile remnants from the attack. Their findings are nothing short of shocking. In their recovery, Conflict Armament Research was able to document more than 290 components, comprising 50 unique models. 75% of the components documented are linked to companies incorporated in the United States. An additional 16% of components are linked to companies incorporated in Europe, with only 9% of documented components linked to companies incorporated in Asia. This alone does not encompass the seriousness of the situation. The United States has recently revamped its export controls. They're getting serious again here in the U.S. We're paying more attention, doing better, and truly working to make export compliance a top priority for companies, so that together we can protect American interests and national security. So surely these are outdated parts, scrap that's been around for years, that ended up making its way into subpar technology from North Korea. Surely this is just old tech. No. According to the CAR, of the 76.6% of the components they were able to identify, a date of production were manufactured in the last 3 years. I strongly advise you all to read the Conflict Armament Research report for yourselves when you get a chance. The CAR closed their report with the following conclusions. Number one, it shows that North Korea has been able to produce advanced weapons integrating components produced as recently as 2023, in spite of the United Nations Security Council sanctions, which have been in place since 2006, that prohibit the production of ballistic missiles by North Korea. Number two, it shows that despite long-standing international sanctions on such activities, North Korea could have transferred the weapon to the Russian Federation after the start of the Russian full-scale invasion of Ukraine in 2022. And finally, number three, the presence of large proportion of recently produced non-domestic electronic components in a North Korean ballistic missile strongly suggests that the country has developed a robust acquisition network capable of circumventing, without detection, sanctioned regimes that have been in place for nearly two decades. Naturally, there is no evidence that these companies directly ship these parts to North Korea. As CNN put it, the components were likely diverted somewhere in the vast global supply chain once the companies sold them to various international distributors. However, the United States cannot cede responsibility for this failure. As people who work in trade or export compliance, it is our duty to be on the watch for suspicious actors who attempt to circumvent strong export compliance somewhere along the way. The components used in this missile were allowed to stray off course of our laws. Somewhere along the way, we lost sight of them, and that allowed for them to be shipped to one of our greatest adversaries, who used those parts to craft a missile that was then shipped to another adversary waging an illegal war, who then fired that missile west. If that alone is not sufficient to have you reevaluating your own export compliance program, then I can only hope that the following example will be enough to convince you. For our next horror story, let's go back a year. In the fall of 2022, a drone was shot down in Ukraine. This drone was identified as Iranian-made, and that was being used by the Russians in their offensive against the Ukraine. In January 2023, CNN broke the story, a follow-up of sorts, to a story they had covered a month prior about an administrative-wide task force the White House had created to, quote, investigate how U.S. and Western-made technology, ranging from smaller equipment like semiconductors and GPS modules to larger parts like engines, has ended up in Iranian drones. The need for this task force is plainly evident at this point. CNN reported that, quote, of the 52 components the Ukrainians removed from the Iranian Shahed 136 drone, 40 appear to have been manufactured by 13 different American companies. 40 out of 52 were covered. One component alone would be a failure of compliance. What does 40 equal? The remaining 12 components were spread out between Western and Eastern countries, but obviously, their contribution from what was recovered pales in comparison to ours. But that's not where the statistics end. The CAR conducted an investigation into this matter as well, tracking the components recovered in Iranian drones downed in the Ukraine. The report published in November 2022 documented more than 500 components spanning some 200 unique models across the multiple drones they had recovered. Of these components, 82% of them were manufactured by companies in the United States. 82%. And also, like the North Korean ballistic missile, a majority of the parts were dated as recently manufactured. This report was published November 2022, and 56% of parts were manufactured in 2020 and 2021. Like the previous example, there is no evidence that the companies supplying these parts were deliberately defying U.S. regulations, ITAR or EAR, or even international sanctions like the MTCR, which includes ballistic missiles and UAVs, to send these components to Iran directly, especially to be used in drones. However, it is undeniable that these components ended up in the possession of a heavily sanctioned geopolitical adversary. Just like with the ballistic missile, somewhere along the supply chain, someone got careless. CNN attributes these gaps in enforcement to the actions of shell companies used by adversaries to acquire these regulated components. A former Pentagon official, Gregory Allen, likened the governmental response to whack-a-mole. One pops up, and then we hit it. So another one pops up somewhere else. This constant game we play with adversaries is the reason we in export compliance must be adequately prepared, armed with knowledge, and observant towards any suspicious interactions we have with buyers and clients. Of course, not all of this falls on the manufacturers. The government also has a vital role to play in trade security, and they are currently under-equipped. CNN quotes Allen again by saying, "Nobody has really thought about investing more in agencies like the Bureau of Industry and Security, which were really sleepy parts of the DC national security establishment for a few decades. And now, suddenly, they're at the forefront of national security technology competition, and they're not being resourced remotely in that vein. We are seeing a new focus placed on export compliance from a government-wide effort. This is definitely the direction we need to be headed, but we cannot wait for the government to start acting. Regardless of your political affiliation, I think everyone can agree that when government moves, it moves slow. During this transitionary period, it is up to those of us working across vital industries and in the field of export compliance to ensure that our clients and companies are prepared and aware of our role and potential pitfalls." So that leaves us with our role. What can we do to stem the tide of American components leaking through our regulations to end up in the hands of our enemies? One option is to be vigilant about end use. Know where your products are going, get it in writing, and be sure. Do not let up until you have the ultimate destination and end user known. If it continues into the wrong hands, despite all that you've done, leave the rest to the government. Another easily accomplished action is to be on the lookout for anything suspicious about your transactions and exports. If a buyer is cagey about information, if you can't determine what your product will ultimately be used for, its ultimate destination, then do not sell or apply for a license. If you don't trust the buyer, you can't trust how they'll use your product. In the meantime, go back over your products and make sure they are correctly classified. It could be that lax classification that allows for some components to be exported to these countries when a more accurate classification might have prevented it. As I said previously, we in the export compliance industry have a duty to preserve national security. Now that might seem self-important or an exaggeration, but it's true. Our actions ensure that valuable technology remains out of the hands of hostile foreign actors. Our efforts can be used to protect the lives of Americans, soldiers, and civilians by protecting advanced technologies and equipping our own troops and allies with those technologies. Therefore, we cannot shirk the responsibility for our failures. Exporters must learn from them and build a better shield for our technology so it doesn't end up in the hands of our enemies. Before we end this episode, I want to hammer home how serious this issue is one last time. In recent months, American troops have come under assault from Iranian proxies in the Middle East. Russia's illegal war in the Ukraine has many countries worried for a political conflict with NATO. It doesn't take much to imagine the worst coming to pass. An Iranian drone strikes U.S. troops, NATO is attacked, and American troops fall in Ukraine as a result. When the remains of the missiles and drones are recovered, when they are dissected and their components traced, what will they find? Will it be our own technology used by our enemies to kill our own soldiers? As someone who works in export compliance, I cannot live with that scenario. Can you? As always, if you have questions about export compliance, how you can better protect your business or better protect your fellow Americans, here at EIB, we make things easy for you. We're always willing to help. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you next time. You can reach us on the web at www.eib.com or give us a call at 978-256-0438. We're here to help with a multitude of export compliance needs, training, and support. Thank you, and have a great day. My name is Nicolette. I'm from EIB. I was your host. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next month, but until then, remember, export compliance, it's the law. We make it simple.